Verse 22, we'll start from 22. First Peter chapter 1, verse 22, page 1218. Page 1218 in the Church Bible. And we'll be reading all the way through to chapter 2 and to verse 3. First Peter chapter 1. Verse 22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall. But the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Amen. I want to pray. Indeed, Father, we thank you that you have given us your word. Peter said, "To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Lord, I pray you give us a hunger and a thirst for your word, for your truths. Lord, I pray that we would be a people that would be satisfied in your word, that we would feed on your word. The Spirit gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life, says the Lord. Father, you have called us unto yourself. You have set us apart to be your children, to be your people. Let your word change and transform us. Let us not leave this place the same, but draw us closer to you. Refreshing our love, refreshing our zeal for your name's sake, Lord. Give us power, give us strength to resist the evil one, to resist the tempter. Father, I pray for your peace that passes all understanding to be in our minds and to guide us. Father, you said, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." We thank you for that light. We are no longer walking in darkness. We are no longer lost. But we have the light of the world. And we give you praise and thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. We will sing another hymn. I was an orphan. First Peter chapter 2 is what we're mainly going to be focusing on. I've entitled my message this evening, "Crave for the Pure Word of God." Crave for the Pure Word of God. I think it's a fitting title, not just because it's one of our verses for tonight, but also as we are 19 days in January, I want to keep the momentum of the New Year's theme, if you like. I too want to jump on the bandwagon of New Year's Eve type of message this evening, so bear with me as we begin this new year. Every new year, people make New Year's resolutions. They make plans. And there was a research or a survey done of 2,000 people regarding New Year's resolution to see what was their top 10. And I have a list of them here. And from number one, surprise, surprise, diet or eat healthier. Every New Year, isn't it? Everybody is on a diet or eat healthier. And number two was exercise more. I was talking to Martin last week about not joining the gym in January for obvious reason. Exercise more, number two. Everybody wants to join the gym in the first month of the year. And number three, it's still in the same line there, lose weight. So they don't want to join the gym, but they want to just lose weight instead. Number four, save more and spend less. And if I would confess, I try that every year. Number five, learn a new skill or a hobby. Number six, quit smoking. Number seven, read more. Read more. Number eight, find another job. Find another job every year. Number nine, drink less alcohol. And number 10, spend more time with family and friends. I went to Wikipedia to get a description of what is a New Year's resolution, to sum it up. And they have it as, a New Year's resolution is a tradition most common in the Western Hemisphere, but also found in the Eastern Hemisphere, in which a person resolves to change undesired trait or behavior to accomplish a personal goal or otherwise improve their life. But here's the problem. 80% research and study says will fail by the end of February. So if you want to join the gym, go in February. You'll be empty. The desire to want to better yourself is a good thing. Wanting to stop bad habits and improve health or finances, it's a good desire. It's a good thing. And that's Peter's approach in chapter 2, verse 2. And that's what I want to focus on. He says, like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. The word crave is the same as desire. The idea here is that as Christians, we too must desire or have a longing for the things of God. And as we begin this year, we too must be thinking, how or what should I be doing to be more godly and to be more heavenly minded? As believers, I believe that this should be our number one resolution: to be more Christ-like, to be more godly, to be more heavenly minded. Thousands of people live year after year without much passion for God, or zeal for His name, or joy in His presence, or hope in His promises. And there's no consistency in His fellowship. And they say, well, that's just the way I am. and they just settle in, there's no spiritual growth, there is no spiritual desire to do more for God. So let's look and see what Peter has to teach us about growing in godliness and Christ-likeness. Just a quick history of 1 Peter. Now, 1 Peter is a letter from Peter to the believers who had been dispensed throughout the ancient world, and they were under intense persecution. And so if anyone understood persecution, it was Peter. He was beaten, threatened, punished, and jailed for preaching the word of God. So he knew what it took to endure without bitterness and without losing hope. And he's writing to a Christian in various regions of the Roman Empire. We see in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles, scattered throughout the province of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So they are called elect pilgrims, because elect has to do with their position before God. They are God's chosen people. Pilgrims has to do with their position in the world. They are strangers in this world. They no longer fit in. So in chapter 1, he's just been speaking about holy, about being holy and being born again through God's word. That we are born again by God through the word of God. The point was this. The point was that this world is imperishable. Sorry, this word is imperishable. And that it is living and active. And that it's not like grass and flowers that die, but that it endures forever. He's talking about the word of God. So if you have been born again through this word, then you will last forever. You are secure forever in the family of God, who caused you to be born again in the family. Therefore, since you have new life by God's working, and since you have confidence about the future, therefore, and that's where chapter 2, verse 1 connects with chapter 1. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. I'm not going to be going into those specific words this evening, but we'll use them as a pointer. What he's saying is, before you start doing the positive that contributes to you being more heavenly minded, start by stopping the things that hinder you from being heavenly minded. By laying aside the things that hinder us from receiving God's word. So if we are going to have any success in our endeavors, in our resolutions, if you like, in our disciplines for the new year, there are some things that we have to lay aside. There are some things that we have to cast away. And then in verse 2 of 1 Peter chapter 2, like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. The King James puts it this way. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So since you have been born again by the word of God, now long for the word of God. And that's the connection between chapter 1, verse 23. Therefore, long for the milk of the word. If you began your life with the word, sustain your life with the word. in this new year, if we are going to have any success in our resolutions, to be closer to God, to do more for God, the first thing we must do, we must have a craving or a desire for His Word. The psalmist said in the book of Psalms, chapter 42, verse 1, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. And people say, I just don't feel like it. I don't feel like reading the Bible. I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like loving the things of God or the people of God. I don't feel like it. Well, Peter says, long for it. Crave it. Desire it. Just like how newborn desires milk. Now, that's amazing. A command to desire. A command to feel longings we do not feel. A command to feel desires we do not have. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. If we are to grow, we need to desire to take the sincere milk of the Word. There is no other secret or replacement method for true spiritual growth in God than to acquire the knowledge of Jesus through the reading of His Word. There's nothing else that will place that. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. The scriptures are the spiritual food that God in His grace has given us for our Christian life and for our spiritual growth. No matter what chronicle age we may be, our desire for the Word of God should be like a hungry little newborn who searches earnestly for his milk. Twice in the Apostle Peter's letters, he encourages his readers to grow. The second is found in 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 17. He says, therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless men and fall by your secure position. But, verse 18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Believers are either being carried away or they're losing their stability, verse 17. Or they're growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ, verse 18. You see, standing still is not an option. There's no neutral in the Christian life. We are rather shrinking or we are growing. And this year, we don't want to regress or fall back or be carried away or lose our position of security and stability. Rather, we want to grow in the grace of Christ and increase in the knowledge and in the love of God. We want to be growing in the things of God. Colossians chapter 1 verse 10, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Now, I don't know about you, but that is what I want for 2020. I want to grow in the grace of Christ and increase in the knowledge of God. Like James says in James chapter 4, verse 8, King James Version, he says, "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you." Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. And that should be our New Year resolution. Every year, every day of our life. You might be asking Peter, how can you command me to have a desire? What can I do to obey a command like that? How do I just produce a desire? My whole problem is that I don't have it in the first place. I don't have the strength or desire I want. And you just tell me to desire? Yeah. That is what Peter is saying. Desire the word of God. Long for it. Crave for it. God does not command us to do anything we are not able to do. He wants us to have a desire and a longing for His word. If we don't have it, we ask Him. And there are things we too can do to stimulate, if you like, a craving for the word of God. There are things we can put in place that can help us stimulate that desire or that hunger. First Peter gives us a clue. He tells us by putting off the evil that clings to us in verse 1 of chapter 2. Rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy and slander of every kind. So we have to put aside anything that is not godly, anything that is not Christ-like. Put it to our side. The other things we can do is put in place. We could put in place a reading habit. Now, of course, everyone's day is different. My reading or my devotion is usually the first thing in the morning, simply before I leave for work. Because when I come back in the evening, it's impossible. The house is busy. It's too loud. It's things to do. And so my quiet time is before I leave. And because I do it every morning, it's become a habit. If I miss a day or two, my body begins to crave for my quiet time. I crave for the spiritual food because it's become a habit. Put in place a reading habit, a quiet time, and you will train your soul to crave spiritual food. Now, making a habit is not easy. Our brains are hardwired to take shortcuts and to do what comes naturally to us. So while you are telling yourself you want to create a new habit, your brain is busy working out how it can revert back to the old ways, or how it can take shortcuts and skip. There's a myth that has lingered since the 1960s that it takes 21 days to change a habit or to adopt a new one. And this myth originated with a plastic surgeon by the name of Maxwell Mortez, who wrote a best-selling book in the 60s called Psycho-Cybernetics, in which he noted that commonly it took a minimum 21 days for a patient to become accustomed to their new face in the mirror, or for an amputee to get used to no longer having their limb. His theory was misinterpreted by pop psychologists and self-help authors. And so they adopted the 21-day challenge and used it to motivate people into making changes. Because it makes the idea of life change much more achievable if you think it can be done in 3 weeks. But in 2009, a study by Philippe Allary, a health psychology researcher, done a study entitled, "How Long Does It Take to Form a Habit?" And this study, it found that on average, it takes 66 days for a habit to become ingrained. And the more hard work the habit was, the longer it took. The average was 66 days. The shortest was 18 days. The longest reported at the end of the 3 months that the habit still was not second nature was 254 days. That's discouraging. So the key to adopting a new behavior or cultivating a habit is simply this: keep at it and not feel disheartened. If you still have to force yourself to read the Bible, then force yourself. If it's the first thing in the morning, or just before you go to bed, or while you're having your lunch, force yourself and keep at it until it becomes a habit, until your soul begins to crave for spiritual food. We are creatures of habits, and we must cultivate spiritual habits to feed our souls. Because men shall not live by bread alone. And this new year, we must recognize the need for our God. We must recognize that without Him in our daily lives, we are nothing. We are nothing. Just like a baby craving for his milk. He needs it, or she needs it, for the nourishment, for the growing of the body. We too need the word of God for growing in our love and in our faith towards our God. Peter says, desire the pure spiritual milk. Desire this pure spiritual milk. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And we also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as human word, but as it is, as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. The pure milk is the undiluted, pure, genuine, and it's excellent, and it's durable in itself. The word of God is necessary for the growth of the Christian. We should all desire the pure milk of the word. Psalms chapter 12, verse 6, and the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver purified in a crucible, like gold refined 7 times. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. If we are going to have any joy in kingdom business in 2020, if we're going to have any joy, we must get locked in the Word of God. We must read it. We must practice it. We must love it. We must have a craving for the Word. We must desire His Word. We hold in our hands the very words of God. The Creator of the universe has breathed out a book. We can read the mind of God revealed in His book. We have access to knowledge that is unshakably true and valuable for us. We hold the words of the living God. Let's use it. Let's use it. Let's crave for it. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Nothing wrong with joining the gym in 2020. But the godliness has an everlasting value. The profitable effect of Scripture, according to 2 Timothy in chapter 3, verse 17, as he puts it, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Equipped for every good work. That's what godliness is. And the way it comes about is by the Scriptures. Scripture, in the hands of the Holy Spirit, has the power to make us the kind of people who can discern and do the good that needs to be done. Equipped for every good work. Transformed, empowered, enabled to do the good that needs to be done. Through the power of the Holy Spirit and His Word, we are fully equipped. The God-breathed Bible aims to make us godly, to make us doers of good in this world. The doctrines of the Bible are designed to produce good deeds. When we are rightly taught by the Scriptures, we are first reproved. That is, our errors are pointed out, and we are stopped in our tracks. Then we are corrected, that is, we are turned around from the harmful way we were going and pointed in the right way. And third, we are trained in righteousness. That is, the Bible enables us to be trained, to grow in righteousness. And as the teaching does, these three things, reproof, correction, training, the Scriptures equips us for every good work. For every good deed. Like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. And then in verse 3 of chapter 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, he says, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. So you see, having tasted that the Lord is good, should increase our appetite for Him. It should make it easier, or should give us a more hunger for His Word. Psalms chapter 34, verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him. And so my question then this evening, have you ever tasted, and do you know that the Lord is good? You have tasted that the Lord is good. This should help you. This should help us to crave for His Word. And if you have never tasted that the Lord is good, beloved, I urge you to test and see. If you have never experienced His grace, beloved, I urge you to test and experience His grace. I invite you today to get to know Him. I was 18 years old when I bowed my knees and asked for His forgiveness, and I have never looked back. Psalm 145, verse 9. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all He has made. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. If you have never tested that the Lord is good, now is your time. Why don't you turn to Him today and you will see that the Lord is good. Amen. I will end there this evening. Why don't we pray and close.